Have your Bibles turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy and 2 Peter chapter 3. All right, we'll read three verses and then we'll pray and get in the message this morning. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, it said, This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. We've been looking in 2 Peter for several weeks now. We looked at the life of Lot and how he vexed his soul and the things that was going on then and the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah and the things that was taking place. And then nearly 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John penned the following prayer when Jesus promised to return quickly. He said, even so come, Lord Jesus, there in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. I believe John the Apostle felt and thought that he was living in the last days at that time. And also Paul expected, I believe, as you read his epistles, I believe that Paul was expecting Jesus to return when he was upon earth. In 1 Thessalonians, he penned that great chapter down, verse 13 to 17. He said, but would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And I believe the Lord don't want us to be ignorant of the second coming, of the time as we live approaching. We talk about the dangers and the things that's going on. But anyway, verse 14 says, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Twice here we hear in this passage that Paul uses that phrase, we which are alive and remain. And I believe he too believed that he was living in the last days at that time. Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, he tells us that he's looking for that day himself. He said, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved and elements shall melt with fervent heat. Peter believed that I believe that he was living in the last days. No one here on earth today, there's a lot of speculations, a lot of people making predictions when Jesus would come, but we know that no man knows the hour. Jesus said himself in Matthew 24, verse 36, he said, but of that day and that an hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And so we realize that we're living in the last days, that we're 2,000 years closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But while we can't really pinpoint accurately tell when the Lord will return to this earth, we are told what the last days will be like during the time right before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in 2 Timothy there, if you got your place, chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. The Bible said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And I wonder this morning we ask ourselves, are we living in the last days as we look around at the things that's going on? And we see several things, I believe, this morning that we can come to the realization that we are living in the last days. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, there he said, in number 1, we see the climate of the last days there in verse 1. He said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And that word perilous means dangerous, difficult, hazardous times, times that are hard to deal with. And we look around, we see all the things that's going on today. We got to realize, hey, that number one, we're living in dangerous days. We can talk about the traffic. It's dangerous out on the road. I mean, that's just natural things that we have to do. We have to travel. We have to get back and forth, especially in this society that we're living in. And it's dangerous out there, just driving up and down the road. And then you get to looking at the things that's going on around us, and we see all the wickedness and all those things that you read about daily in the newspapers, the political system that's corrupted, the things that's going on that's being tolerated, that's being allowed, and that's even being promoted in this day that we're living in. It's dangerous times. I mean, you read the news every day and there's someone, mothers are killing their own babies. I mean, and then we see of children that's killing their parents and all these kind of things that's going on, and people just get mad at the drop of a hat. We're all on edge. I mean, we might as well admit it. Hey, every one of us this morning is on edge, and when we come to the house of God, we ought to be able to come in here and get away from the things of this world, get our minds fixed and centered upon worship in the Lord Jesus Christ, and come for no other purpose than that. Get rid of those things. But there's all kinds of wickedness and things that's going on. People, evil men are waxing worse and worse. Hey, we're finding that the things that are so easily accessible now that used to be hard to get a hold of, Brother Darrell. I mean, it used to be that they'd hide the pornography in the drugstores and the places and the magazines. They'd put them over in the corner. Hey, but now everything is just out in the open. It's public, and everything's easily accessible. You can travel from here across the United States, and it's the same way in every city, hey, that you go to. The major cities, I feel for people that's living in these major cities. It's bad enough living out in the country now. There's much less living in these cities where all this wickedness and everybody is joined house to house, and they're just right next door, and all the things that children are being raised in. It's just a mess. We're living in dangerous days today, and I don't know what we're going to face. But I was thinking about some things when I was doing this, and I was going to write down some things, but I thought they were just too many, and I just had a blank page right here. You just fill in the blanks when you start thinking about the dangerous times that we're living in today. It's dangerous days. And then, number two, it's determined days. I believe it's determined days. It seems that more and more are determined to live more and more wickedly day after day. Hey, they're devising new things daily. I mean, the kind of drugs that's out there today that's so easily accessible. I mean, it's just our days determined. I mean, not only they're determined, but they're detrimental days in our lives here upon this earth. But I thank God for the child of God that's looking, hey, that we look at what Paul wrote in Thessalonians there, chapter 4, verses 13 on, about the coming of the Lord. We've got something to look forward to. Hey, this is not the end of it for the child of God. I mean, we got better days ahead if we're looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only we see the climate of the last days, but we see, number two, we see the characteristics of the last days. There, beginning in verse 2 in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. He said, "For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So we see the characteristics of the last days. I believe there's some 20 different descriptions of what's in these latter days in which we're living in here. We see their deeds, first of all. We see that they're lovers of self. They're selfish. They're intent on one's own interest. They're more concerned with their self. This is the day of selfies. Have you ever seen so many selfies? Men are lovers of them, their own selves. I mean, you every time you look around, somebody's doing a selfie. And they're posting it on Facebook or somewhere else. I mean, we're living in that day, Brother Todd. Men are lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God. They're more concerned about how they feel than what they ought to be doing and how they ought to be reaching out to a lost and dying world. Lovers of their self. Lovers of self. Selfish. We're selfish today. We've had so much this in this modern day that we're living in, everything's at our fingertips. We talk about how expensive things are, but I'm going to tell you, hey, we're more able to buy stuff today than my grandparents were able to buy when they were years ago when things were cheap. It's easier for us to buy a car than it was for them to buy a bag of flour back in their days, just about. I mean, minimum wage. When I started working, that was $1.15 an hour for part-time. And at the end of the week, after I worked at the grocery store with our brother there, I thought I was rich and nobody could tell me nothing. I'd have $40 a lot of times. I'd work through the week and then I'd work on Saturdays. But we're so filled with prosperity today, we become lovers of ourselves more than lovers of God. We don't even give God credit for what we've got today. We think, I've worked hard for what I've got. And what I've worked hard for, I'm going to keep. I'm going to spend on me because I'm worth it. We ain't worth nothing. We're not worth nothing. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, it said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Notice all the rest of the characteristics result from being a lover of oneself. Covetous. The love of money. Have you ever seen people that are so much in love with money anymore? It's all about getting more and more and more. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 said, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, very familiar verse, passage said, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I believe God's plan is that we worship God, love other people, and use things that He's blessed us with to benefit others. When our priorities, I believe, become skewed, we start to worship ourselves, ignore God, love things, and use other people. You know, most divorces, if you get right down to it, it's because of a love of money. Back yonder years ago, when the factories opened and women went to work, then the problem started. A lot of the problem started. There's always been a problem with flesh. But when women and men get to working together and rubbing shoulders, hey, they get comfortable, they begin to... They're making money. Remind you, it all stems from money that we'll be able to buy the things that we want and the things that we need. And they get to rubbing shoulders with one another and they begin to talk and they begin to discuss their situation. And it ain't long till something's going on. It ain't long till there's a home wreck somewhere. Because someone gets too comfortable in the workplace rubbing shoulders with somebody else's husband or wife. We've got to get our priorities right. Covetous, love of money. Hey, these children are worth more than money. I thank God when we first got married. Debbie's now, she's worked during our married life, but when their kids was little, she got to stay at home with them for a long time. And probably we should have let her stay at home with them even longer after that. The best situation is to not be so in love with money and having things, hey, but it's to raise our children up for the honor and glory of God instead of putting them in the babysitter's hands and care. Most reason most people go to work is because of covetousness, because of love of money. Women, they have their babies. They take 6 weeks of maternity leave. They come to the nursery usually or several weeks, and then they're back off to work again. And that baby grows up with some other lady taking care of them. Why? Because of covetousness. Because we're lovers of ourselves. And covetousness stems from that. Boasters. Boasters. There's the boasters that's in the world. Empty pretenders. Proud. An overestimate of one's value or worth. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 said, pride goeth before the destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10 said, but by the grace of God I am, Paul said, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. We find that Paul realized that the things that he had accomplished, it was all because of the grace of God in his life. He wasn't proud, he wasn't arrogant about the things, how God had blessed him and used him. John 15, verse 5 says, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, that the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Prideful people. We see prideful people in the news all the time. We see those that are boasters. They're always boasting of their accomplishments and what they've done. Then the next thing, blasphemers. Defiant toward God. Have you ever seen a society that was such defiancy in their lives? They're defiant against God, against everything. Hey, these people speak evil of God, His children, and His work. Hey, we look around, we see the criticism today of those that wants to do right. Those that wants to live right. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Young people, if you want to live long on the earth, hey, the Bible says to be obedient. Obey your parents in the Lord. This is the most rebellious and disobedient generation. Hey, nobody wants no authority over them. Hey, we're living in that Laodicean church age. The people's right. Hey, it's in our homes. It's in our churches. It's in our job places. It's wherever we're at. Hey, people want their way and they want to do like they want to do. And kids today, they're ruling the houses. Isaiah said children shall be their oppressors and women shall rule over them. And that's where we're at today. The prophecy of Isaiah has come true in this land. Unthankful. No sense of gratitude. We're going in Thanksgiving season. I believe a child of God should be thankful every day. 365 days of years when we think of how good that God has been to us. You go to the hospital, you see the people that are sick. Daddy was in the hospital last week. 54-year-old man there in the room with him. They drawed him, I forget, 11 pounds of fluid off of him up to that point, and he still had more to draw off. Congestive heart failure. If you've got good health, you better be thankful for it today. We complain and grumble about little aches and pains, and I'm the world's worst, I guess, to complain about the little problems that we have. And then we look around and we see someone that's got a whole lot bigger issues than we have. I'm 68 years old and I have been blessed to be able to move, to walk, and to run and do the things and be able to work without a whole lot of pain through my life. But we're just, seems like we're unthankful. God's given us a good home to live in, good house to live in. Give us a good relationship. We've had a good marriage all through these years. Our kids are healthy. Their kids are healthy. We've been blessed. My daddy is 97 years old, and he's four of them left now. Four of them's gone. They was eight children. They've all pretty much lived to be three score and 10 plus. Maybe his mother died at 66 years old, I believe. I believe his youngest sister died at 76 years old. My uncle is 80, living now. Earl is 85 or 6, 88 years old. Danny died at 90 plus years, 91. They've been blessed, man. Daddy's suffering, in his latter days, but I'm going to tell you, he's outlived all of them. He's the oldest one. We've been blessed to have my mother live to be 91. We've had our parents. We have been blessed to have them for so long. But I'm going to tell you, you get latter days, there's some things worse than death. When you get, your body gets wreaked with pain and drawing and the problems it sets in. Hey, but we ought to be thankful today. If you're able to get out and come to the house of God, hey, there's so many people that will neglect the house of God. They'll make excuses for some little old ache or some little old pain to not go to church. They'll look for an excuse. Hey, if you're able to get here today, hey, you ought to be thankful to God. Start the Thanksgiving week off being thankful that God allowed you to be in the house of God on a Sunday morning. Unthankful. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 said, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We ought to be thankful in everything. Hey, we don't do it, do we? We look for the negative all the time. Unthankful. Unholy. Wicked. Profane. I've never seen so much unholiness in my life. I've seen things progress to the point that where we're at today. I've seen the times progress from the days of my teenage years in Gainesville, when I first began to realize that men and women were attracted to the same sex. There wasn't many of them back then. It's unholy. The Bible says it's an abomination to God. You say you keep preaching on it. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's the sign of the last days. We're there. When we want our kids to give them the opportunity to choose their gender when God had already chose their gender in the womb, and they come forth in this world, hey, they're either male and female. Just because you think you're a cat or a dog, you can't be one. You might act like one. And just because you think you want to be a girl wants to be a boy, she can't be a boy. They can do all the surgeries and pills and things they want to. Hey, the DNA of that kid's still going to be what God created it to be. I'm getting so sick of that stuff. I can't even believe we've got to this point in place. You can't even watch television no more without them trying to promote that stuff and make it acceptable to you and get you desensitized toward it. Makes you want to just take a hammer like Brother Wallace did. They got to doing something on television when he was down there, and he busted his television up. They was cussing, I believe, is what it was. Used to didn't even hear no cussing on television. Now, every time you look at the papers, they're having to put, they're using that word that people used to wouldn't even think about using. And now our politicians and everybody else is using it. We got preachers that goes along with abortion. They ought to quit and get them a job with Darrell down at the trash pickup place, as far as I'm concerned. Call him. Call him. Maybe you can get him to go to work for you and he won't run for senator. Hey, a preacher ought to stand against unholy things. Without natural affections. It used to be that women wanted to have babies. I remember when Debbie first got expecting, we went to the doctor's office, we was excited. I couldn't hardly wait. She come out of the doctor's office and she was, I forget exactly what it was, but I couldn't hardly wait for her to get checked out so she could tell me what she found out. And she was expecting with Stephanie. And we were excited. And my wife has always had a natural affection for her children. And she abused them. She'd tie them up. But if she ain't ever wanted to harm them, she was had that motherly affection. Now women they get expecting because of immorality, and it's going to interfere with their lifestyle. First thing they want to do is go down to the abortion clinic, and have us all be a part of that and getting that baby aborted, paying for it. There's something wrong with this picture. We're living the last days. Unnatural affection. It's not natural for a man to... My brother said, some man said, one man said he didn't know why a woman would want a man, let alone a man want a man. That's about right. But that's not natural. That is not natural. And a lot of this stemming from this pornography. They're seeing all this stuff. They're getting so to the point that the natural realm of desire is not appealing to them no more. Boys, you better be careful what you put in your mind. Everybody needs to be careful what we put in our mind, because I'm going to tell you, what goes in there is like that computer. It's stored there and it'll come back. Unnatural. Without natural affections. Truce breakers. Failure to keep promises. You can't believe nobody no more. You got to have a contract and a lawyer and then they'll still break it. False accusers. Slanders. I was watching a preacher last night and he made a pretty good statement about false accusers. In this passage of Scripture, he was referring to this passage of Scripture. We spent 4 years of Trump administration, they were falsely accusing him. Now, I'm going to tell you, if they'd had anything on him, it would have come out. Because they're still trying to bring stuff. False accusers in our political party, they are false accused of stealing that election. They've falsely accused him of all kinds of things that they've not brought forth any proof yet. False accusers. We're here. I mean, it's for their profit. That's what they want him out so they can push their agenda. And I don't trust Republicans or Democrats. But that's where we're at, false accusers. And look at the politicians, how they're accusing each other. They're slinging mud. I mean, they started that back. They didn't used to do that. They didn't sling mud. And then when it started, it just progressed. They dig up. If you got anything in your life, you better not run for political office because somebody's going to find out about you. They'll dig it up. Now, Warnock and Walker, they're both jabbing at one another. Whether it's true, whether it ain't, it's probably true, I don't know. Walker says he got saved. If he got saved, hey, the Lord's forgiven him of his sins. The preacher says he's a preacher. And he's still going along with abortions and all these kind of things. I don't believe man of God could be a preacher and be for that kind of stuff. And that's what we're seeing. False accusers, slanderers, incontinent. Hey, without self-control, there's no control in this world. If there was any control, even in churches, you stay in church long enough and you'll hear some preacher that gets mixed up with some woman. I've seen it. Good men of God that we thought was good men of God. They get knocked out of the ministry because of no self-control, incontinent. They can't control their passions. And it's all around us. It's all around us. Rape's going on. You know why? Because people are without continence. They don't have no self-control. They watch all this pornography and all this stuff, and then they live out their fantasies. They have no control. If you know anybody that's looking at pornography, you better be careful of them. You better watch them. This got caught in that kind of stuff. Because their mind's going to get corrupted. And it ain't just here around us. It's from here, from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the Canadian border to the Mexican border. And even on down in some of them other places, worse than here. Incontinent. No self-control. A man of God ought to have some self-control about him. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12 said, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." The next thing, fierce, untamed, savage, brutal. Have you ever heard, how can anybody take a pistol, an AR-15, and now we got this stabbing. These four students that got stabbed to death. Them people that does those kind of things, hey, they're fierce. They're brutal. Goes into school with guns. Something's wrong with teenagers that can get a hold of guns and go in schools and mow down people. Or, man, somebody walk into church. We're just liable to somebody come in this church. You say it won't happen. Hey, it can happen. I hope we got enough firepower in here that we'll at least put up a good fight, though. Because I'm going to tell you, it's brutal out here. People are wicked. Thank God for our law enforcement. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Would you ever thought that it'd be a day when you're standing for what's right, you're standing against abortion, they despise you? That's my right to do that. That's my body. If you stand against these things, they despise you. Despisers are those that are good. Traitors, people who express no loyalty but to themselves. Heady people. High-minded, those that are puffed up with their own self-importance. It's all about them and nobody else. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Hey, this generation and this world is geared toward pleasure. Geared toward pleasure. You know what America's God is sports and education. Sports and education. Look at the big coliseums that are built for sports activity. The racetracks. Look at the big campuses that they build to educate our children. Those are the two gods. Pleasure would probably be right in there. That'd probably be first. Of those things. Pleasures was one of America's gods too. That's why churches are empty all across this land today, is because people's out taking their Sunday and enjoying it for their own pleasure. Pleasure. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It's sad that, you know, we probably, it's sad to even spend more time, I guess, in a deer stand than it is reading your Bible and studying God and trying to have a relationship with Him. But we do it. We love pleasures. We see, number two, their deception. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The last days will not only be characterized by wickedness and evil, hey, but also that of religious people. And we're seeing that trend in our society today as we look around. We're living in a religious world. Hey, there's a lot of churches out there that call themselves churches, but they're a little more than cults. It's there for entertainment, for their pleasure. You go into most churches, they don't want you to feel uncomfortable. And I think you ought to be welcome, but I don't think you ought to get too comfortable in the house of God, hey, where you don't never get under conviction about something. If the preacher is preaching against your sin, hey, if I wasn't getting under conviction about when the preacher preached against my sin, I'd be checking it. I'd be checking up to see what's wrong with my spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you, hey, when you get to where you're wanting a relationship with Jesus and you begin to seek Him, you begin to read your Bible, you begin to pray on a regular basis, you're going to get under conviction about some things. People that lives has went to church all their life and they're still at the same level they was when they started. There's something wrong. We ought to be maturing. We ought to be growing. And I'm going to tell you, with growing and maturing, there's going to come some conviction in your life. They said, well, morality continues to decline. 94% of Americans claim to believe in God. Over 70% claim, hey, that they have had a born-again experience. There's a gluttony of churches in our society. One doesn't have to travel very far to find a church that embraces any doctrinal slant you want to believe. You can find what you want. If it's not old-fashioned, you don't want it. You can find some modern, contemporary movement that's out there. We're overrun with religion in the United States. Then we see, not only their deception, then we see their denial. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Hey, the last days will be characterized by people that want the security of a relationship with God, hey, but who refuse to have Him rule their lives. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to give me instructions on how I'm to live. They want a God of their own creation and reject the cross and its life-changing message. I'm going to tell you, hey, if you trusted Jesus as your Savior, there's never been change in your life. Something's wrong. Because when you trust Jesus, He changes your life. He comes into your heart. There's going to be a change takes place. There's going to be a desire that the Holy Spirit implants when He takes up abode in your life and in your heart. There's going to be a change that takes place. It's going to be life-changing. There's going to be a desire put in there for the things of God. So what's the bottom line? The world will be filled with people who are religious but lost. Brother Sammy Allen used to preach a message on religious but lost. And he'd preach over in John 3 about Nicodemus and that night visit to Jesus. Probably Nicodemus was you probably couldn't have put nothing to his account to see But yet he was lost when he came to Jesus. He didn't understand about the new birth, what took place. He didn't understand, no doubt, about conviction and what had taken place in his life, that change had come about. If you've never been under conviction, friend, you're not saved. If you've never come to that point in your life where the Holy Ghost reproved you and showed you that you were a hell-deserving sinner, and you saw yourself as a hell-deserving sinner, I don't care how many prayers you prayed, and I don't care how many lines you repeated, I don't care how many baptistries you went into, you're not saved. And there's a lot of people in this world that's religious but lost, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, because the power of God will change your life. He'll change your attitude. He'll change your outlook on things. He'll change your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll put a desire in your heart to live for Him, to do right, even when you do wrong. We're not perfect. We all have to deal with flesh. We all have to do as Paul says, we've got to reckon ourselves to be dead unto self, but alive unto God. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith and the power of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You can't live the Christian life on your own. The only way is that God has given you the Holy Spirit, and you allow Jesus to live in you and through you. And stay close to Him. Deal with your sin when it comes. Their denial. The world will be filled up with people who are religious but lost. There will be an increase in powerlessness. Powerless, Christless religion. Religion that can't save, that can't change, that can't satisfy you. And we're in those days right now, friend. We're in a religious day. And then we see not only the climate and characteristics of the last day, but number three and lastly, we see the counsel for the last days. We're to remember. Number one, we're to remember. God's time is not measured in hours. Hey, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9 said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hey, remember what God has done for you. Hey, remember where God's brought you from. And that verse 1 of chapter 3, He said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Hey, we got to remember where we were at in our life without Christ. Then not only were the counsel for the last days is to remember, hey, but number 2 is to remove. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You see, we're supposed to be very selective with whom we associate, who we buddy with, who we run with, as individuals and as a church. I believe in ecclesiastical separation. There's some churches we can't fellowship with. There's some churches I can't go to because of what they teach and the things that they are involved in. There comes a time, I believe, hey, when because of sin and wickedness, we need to cut ties and walk apart and away from evil. That word turn in verse 5 means to shun and to avoid. You say that sounds harsh, but it's the path to power in our lives. It's hard to think about, hey, but it's biblical. If we refuse, hey, we'll forfeit the power and the presence of God in our life. And that's why Ichabod's been rode over a lot of doors today. Remember, remove, and then regard. Counsel for the last days. Regard. chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse 12 and 14 said, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Well, nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless." Regard the day that we're in, the things that's going on. Regard that this could be the generation that goes out of here. I believe all the signs indicate that we are in the last days. I believe as we look around at the approaching of the coming of Christ. And let me just say this. You see how rapid things have taken place? It seems like they're rapid. Seems like how all these things since 9-1-1, what's developed. I mean, everybody got on when 9-1-1 took place. Everybody was on that, "Pray for America. Pray for America." I said this, where they sell beer joints, but there's something else that's package stores. They even got in on the bandwagon. Pray for America. At the same time, selling the booze. Look where we're at now. Look where we've progressed to. We've seen the Obama administration that opened that door for the all this homosexual movement. Basically, I mean, it was already open, but they just went ahead and kicked the door open. When old Joe come out and did what he did about it, said what he did, then Obama, he just hopped right in there with him. That door was open. To bring all these legalisms and legalizing all these things. We're in a mess, but we're living in a good day. We could be that generation that goes out through the clouds and not have to go by the clods. It'd be fine with me if He come today, wouldn't you? Get out of this mess, go and be with Jesus. If you're saved, it's looking pretty good. If you're not saved, it's not good. But the Bible says we're not promised tomorrow. Peter said, make your calling and election sure. You need to know for sure that your sins are forgiven. Have that nailed down. That you know that you're going to heaven if the trumpet was to sound today. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You and thank You again for the opportunity we have to be here today. We thank You for each one that's come out today. We thank You for the Word of God that gives us light, Lord, upon the time that we're living in. Lord, as we look around and see all the wickedness and the things that's taking place, Lord, surely the coming of the Lord is at hand. Lord, help us to be looking for You. Help us to be ready. Lord, help us to be standing firm. Lord, upon the Word of God in this day that we're living in. Lord, I thank You again for a place to come to this morning where we can worship. Lord, I pray You to take the message, lodge it in our hearts. Lord, meet back with us this evening. Lord, help us as we go through this Thanksgiving season. Lord, that we will be more mindful of being thankful, Lord, for the many blessings that You've given us. We love You in Jesus' name, Jesus' sake. Amen.